no worry. And I was thinking about, you know, Romans 4 over there, Paul, he said, "And God calling those things that be not, they not tumbleweeds." We have really, we got to believe, and therefore we speak. We have believed, and therefore we speak. Look, me and Teresa, we didn't know a lot of scripture when we got saved, you know. But I'm telling you, we was whipping devils every time they turned around to us. I mean, we found out that we was in Jesus, that our life was hid in God, that He came into our life, and we didn't have no trouble. We heard old Shambaugh. He'd speak it out, that old man. He gone now. He said, "You ain't got no troubles." I thought that old man don't know where I work and what's going on in my mind. I hadn't renewed my mind at that time to the Word of God. But you know, you don't have to know a lot, know Him, and want to know Him more. Want Him to reveal Himself. Go after Him in that manner. This deacon at church, and I was 28 years where I went to church, and up there. And every now and then, he didn't do it every service, but he'd just stand up, you know, and he eat a lot of garlic. If you ever smelt garlic bread, he'd get in the church. There's two or three of them, they ain't going to have cancer and all that, and they eat garlic, you know. And they eat it raw. They grew it and eat it raw, and it'd just fill the church up at different times, you know. But that garlic didn't stop his anointing at all, I'm telling you. He'd stand up and he'd say, just serve Him, and He'll use you. Just serve Him. He didn't know, I'm sure he didn't know, that was going down in me. That was going in my heart, you know, and I went out and I thought, I'm going to serve the Lord, man. He saved me. You know, he delivered me. He brought my family. But I'm telling you, He is a restoration God. I don't care what it looks like, but worry, I mean, all of my worries left me when I got in Christ right then. And I was like, I mean, all of the worry and fear that was filling my life left me. I'm talking about just left me. Well, the scripture proves out in your life. It says that He give you His peace. His peace came. I didn't know nothing about His peace. I didn't know nothing about experiencing none of that. But it came. He immediately began to give me direction. You know, unbeknown, I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know He existed. I didn't know anything about none of that. I've been born again an hour. And I had this thought, turn on the TV. You know, turn on a preacher. And so I don't remember no other thoughts. That was the Holy. I turned it on, and He told me to anoint the house and all that. Some of you need to go anoint your house. You know, take that anointing oil. You know, and Crisco, if you ain't got no, you ain't got to have it all the way from Israel. Amen. You ain't got to have that holy anointing oil. I'm not, if you want to buy it over there, that's fine. Ship it over here, it smells good, I guess. But I went in and got that Crisco, and I anointed that whole house. And my marriage and everything looked like it was over this time. I'm talking about over. And here I am. Celebrated yesterday at around 2 o'clock, 41 years of Jesus' victory in my life. Hallelujah. Give the Lord some praise. You know, and I kind of put it on, I felt like putting it on social media. I don't get on and put a whole lot, you know, unless I feel the Lord leading me to. I feel like the Lord inspiring me to. Well, I put it on there and I told a little bit about, you know, if you're nothing seems to ever work, blah, 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 blah. And a couple of them told me, "Boy, I seen that good testimony." I said, "I wasn't testifying." I said, "If you look down at the end of it," I told them, "stop right now and call on Him." I wasn't testifying. I was telling them, if that's you, if that is you, I wasn't speaking to none of y'all more than likely, but y'all cheer me on the testimony. It's great. But whenever God is inspiring me and you, look, whenever He's inspiring you, Richard, to believe, to increase your business, that's His will for you to increase. When you're believing for him to increase, then that's going to bring glory to God when people see Richard Lloyd, the mountain man. And God raises you up and raises, but see, what the enemy don't want me and you to understand is, even though some things are God, things that are God's will in our life, we've got to take possession of. I mean, the will of God don't automatically fall on us. Salvation didn't just fall on me. I called on him. I mean, salvation had been there 27 years before I knew really anything about it. It had been available to me the whole time. 27 years. It didn't just fall on me. I called on him. And he answered me and delivered me. That's why I preached that scripture out of there. The poor man cried, and I heard him, and I delivered him. This is my sermon, but that wasn't what I thought I was going to say. But worrying, I'm going to tell you something. Satan wants you worried. He wants you to worry about your kids. He wants you to worry about your finances. He tried to worry me about my sister, and I told her just be on vacation. In the hospital, just go down there, eat them meals, and just now that's not how she was feeling. Y'all pray me out of there. But what I'm saying is Satan didn't worry me for 3 days. Not going to worry about my sister in the hospital facing an affliction. I'm believing God for that affliction. We came here. We came in agreement together, right? And I left here expecting my sister to be back in church today. And she is. Hallelujah. Now see, worry, God, I mean, the Lord asked me one time when I was reading in there, you know, where Jesus said, don't worry about what you'll wear, what you'll eat, what you'll put on. He said, for all these things does the Gentiles seek. That's nations without God, you look at Gentiles. That means nations without God. The ungodly worry and seek those things. But he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his right. He said, and all these things will be added to your life. And the Lord asked me when I was reading that one time, just inside, I knew it was the Lord. He said, how many bills have you paid worrying? How much money has worrying generated to pay any bill of yours? And I thought, man, worrying don't generate money. He said, then why do you worry? He said, you're wasting your energy. He said, you're wasting your faith. He said, worry is a sure indication to you that you are not in faith. Now, Satan trying to get you to worry and worrying is two different things. Okay? I mean, I'm washing my hands and the Lord brought that to my attention this afternoon. He said, you preached on worry. He said, but I want you to make this statement that Satan trying to get you or you're tempted to worry is not the same as worrying. Because in reality, we are in the Lord. We are walking in the Spirit. The Scripture says if he's in us, we are in the Spirit. Okay, Satan's trying to get you to come out of the spiritual-minded, God-minded, God coming through, God breakthrough-minded to own all the stuff that you're facing on this planet. Satan wants you to worry. Because that is a sure indication there's no faith. And Jesus could do no mighty miracles because of unbelief. No faith. If faith is not there, unbelief is there. If unbelief, and you do not want unbelief in your life. Unbelief makes you feel hopeless. It'll make you be fearful. It'll make you panic. It'll make you have anxiety attacks. It'll cause you to sit there and dream up things. I mean, all your bills are due. Your bills are big, Richard. I understand. I went in one time, mine was big like that, and no Christmas money or bonuses for the guys and no Christmas money for us, you know. And I mean, this has been a long time ago when I was learning, and it was terribly hard. It's a challenge. Whenever everything is piled against you to be in faith. It's a challenge, but it's just here. So I go in there, and I had read the scriptures, you know, where it says, "And God calling those things that be not as though they were." He called me blessed before I was blessed in this Bible. And so I took that stack of bills, and I had read the story of the Valley of Dry Bones. And he asked him, he said, "Can these bones live?" The prophet. He said, "Lord, you know." He said, "Prophesy." He said, "Prophesy to those bones." And he prophesied to those bones, and flesh began to form on those bones in a valley of dead bones, is what I can understand. Dead people had been piled in a valley, and they were dead, and all the flesh was gone and just bones. He prophesied like the Lord told him, and a great army came out of those dry bones. A great army, the Bible says. And so I thought, man. And the Lord was teaching me, he said, "Look, what I say about you and your business and your family in the Bible," he said, "that's what you speak. You prophesy that out of your mouth all the time. That's what calling those things that be not are. You might feel like you are not worth a dime. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you are a king and a priest unto God. You cast that thought down. You go with that thought. You get rid of that thought. You replace it with the Word of God, and you walk with your head high in Jesus Christ." Amen. And so I took those bills, and I laid my hands on those bills. At 28 years old, I hadn't been to none of the universities or nothing like that. Nothing wrong with none of that. None of the colleges teaching me, none of that. You know, I believe I was in the school of the Holy Spirit. He's the only teacher. He's the teacher for the body. And so I laid my hands on that pile of bills, light bills, garage door bills, all kinds of stuff. They were a lot. It looked impossible. And I thought if Jesus can save me and bring me out of where I was at in my emotions and mind, and the way I feel now, and bring my wife back with my son, and if he can do that, then he can pay these bills right here. So, but I realized that God needed me to take dominion. And so I laid my hands on those bills. I was in there by myself. The church knew nothing about it. And I went in there in that back, this wasn't the church then. My business office was back there, made out of pallets. And so I laid my hands on those, and I spoke, I prophesied to them. I said, "I command the supply to come in for every bill. Lord, your word in your Bible, it says you will supply all of my needs. I need these paid, Lord, and I thank you right now. And I'm calling them paid. I call them paid in the name of Jesus." And I said, "Amen." I had just learned through the Greek dictionary what amen meant. I went to the Greek. I thought, what does that word mean? I didn't know what it means. Everybody's saying it. Amen, amen, amen. So I thought, I want to know what it means. So I go in there, and that word amen means so be it. It means if it says it, it's finished. And so I said, "Glory to God. Amen. It's done. So be it." I'm telling you, 2 or 3 weeks went by. Every one of those bills was paid. We got money to take home. Me and my brother were partners. We got money to take home for us, and we had $800 or $900 left. And we told the Lord to show us somebody that we can be a blessing to, God. And God showed us 2 or 3 families that their kids was not going to get any Christmas, and we blessed them with the rest of it. So why I'm that's not a story. That's a testimony of the faithfulness of God. And that is when my journey began. And you know, people have called me name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. That's ridiculous. You know, some people do. They don't try to find God's will. They just try this and try to get God to approve it, and it don't work out and all of that, and it makes it look like it don't work. But they are us. They are those that are after him and seeking first the kingdom and his way of doing and being. That's what that means. And we take the word of God over what we know the will of God is, and we begin to declare it. And if there's demonic spirits and all of that involved in it, we claim it like she did. Our kids, we claim them. We bind Satan in the name of Jesus, and then over our bodies when we are attacked with it, we use Isaiah 58, you can. And your health will spring forth speedily. That's what I told Nita. She said, I'll be weak. I said, for just a few days. I told her, I said, we recover quicker than heathens. Right? We got the supernatural healing ministry of Jesus. And Paul said it in there. He said, Lord, your word is working mightily in me. Well, bringing healing. Psalms 103, he said, forget not all my benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all my benefits. What benefits? The Bible says that God daily loads us up with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Every day. Every day. I mean, I've faced challenges for 33 years in business. One time a guy did not pay. And I took my crew over there and I took the doors out. I didn't fight. And I could steal then, you know, but I didn't fight. I thought, you know what? The Bible says give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down. So I took my crew over there, took those doors out, found out that my pastor's doors was the same size. I didn't know it before then. And I was just looking where I'm going to sow them seeds because I thought, you know what, devil, you want to do that to me? Then I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. So I went and took those. I couldn't afford that. I needed that money. But if you're going to walk in this right here, we got to say no weapons formed against us will prosper and not sit down and cry and complain, but get up and go forth. The Bible says since John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violent, but the violent what? Take it. We take it. And we do it by faith, not in this natural man. We use the principles of God's word. We use our faith in God that we have in our heart that we build through the word of God, reading the word of God. I read about 5 or 6 chapters straight in a row today after reading. I'm on board with y'all. I've been reading my chapter every morning, ever since I repented. Repent means I change and I get that Bible and I turn and go another direction. And I've had to do it by faith at times. But now I just do it because I'm hungry in the morning. I'm going to eat me some oatmeal, so to speak, first thing. So I read me about 7 chapters. Anytime something challenges my faith about the faithfulness of Jesus and all of that, I go start reading in Matthew about him. And I'll read a whole Matthew, and then I'll go over to Mark, and I'll read the whole thing of Mark. Time I get done, I'm like, glory to God, glory, glory. Go, give me a multitude of people, and give me 7 loaves and 2 fish. Oh, glory to God. And I'll feed 5,000 with 7 loaves and 2 fish. And one place they took up 12 baskets, Doris, that's a miracle. 7 loaves, I don't care how big the loaves are. That's not a lot. 7 loaves and 2 fish. I don't care if it's a whale. I mean, it would take a big whale to feed 5,000. I mean, that's a lot of people. So get in there, you know, and just read you about 3 or 4 chapters. If you go to feeling a little bit of one way that you don't want to feel, get in there and just read you about 4 or 5 chapters. Don't really be looking for nothing. Just do it. I was challenged here a while back, you know, about, I don't remember what it was. See, Satan wants me to worry, and I can't worry and read. Satan wants me to worry, I can't worry and sing. Satan wants me to worry. I can't put on praise and worship and listen to it and worry. Right? That's a weapon we use. That's it. We use that stuff as a tool, as a weapon against him, against Satan. That's you being in faith. The Bible says for us to resist Satan steadfast in the faith. Right? So this church does not worry. These people, you in here, you do not worry. You refuse. It's your choice. Your mind belongs to you. It don't belong to the devil. And you choose to think on what you want to. You have that choice. Now, that might be a challenge for you to begin with, but you can get skilled in it. You can get skilled in the Word of God. I done a sermon here a while back, skilled in the Word of God. You know, you can get skilled in the Word. Every time Satan comes at you or something, you just pull out Romans 8:28. You whoop him with it. You say, "Whoa, glory to God. We know over here, Satan, that God works all things together for our good." You know, I was challenged with that job. Me and Travis not going to get paid, didn't look like, and blah, blah, blah. You know, and went through. I cast that thing over on the Lord. Praise God, he tried to worry me for 3 or 4 days because Travis is involved, and Beth's involved, and the kids are involved. You know what I'm saying? It ain't just me. And I just kept casting that over. Well, you know what? Praise God, the check, the full amount of the check came Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday, didn't I, when I messaged you? Full amount. I said, check came. First thing, Travis, the full amount. I said, the full amount. I did not expect anything less than the full amount. I don't settle for less than healed. Amen. You know, it reminds me, you know, Teresa, when she went through that vertigo, whatever they said it was, went to all the specialists, and I was identified in the Bible, man, with a woman with the issue of blood. I'm like, man, she went to all the doctors, man, and grew worse, you know, and all of that stuff, you know, and here comes Jesus in town, and she said within herself, the scripture says, she said within herself, if I can just get out there and touch his God, that was her faith. And her faith brought her out of that circumstance to Jesus. And she touched him. Jesus didn't even know who it was. Her faith drawed healing. Drawed healing out of Jesus. And so I was thinking about it. I thought, man, glory to God. And so I fast and I pray. And it tries to worry me month after month. Week after week, year after year. I even had to get her a chair to roll around in the house. I watched her fall over 2 or 3 times and just fall over like she'd drank a fifth of whiskey like she used to. And she didn't drink nothing. You know, she couldn't cook. She couldn't come here and do Sunday school. She couldn't clean the house like she normally did. She'd never been a dirty house person. Our house, she cleans it on Tuesday for the grandkids to get there on Tuesday night. She says she don't, but that happens. I guess she just sat Tuesday. But I would think, wait till after Tuesday and do it another day, wouldn't you? I mean, if the kids are coming, you know, but she does. But anyways, you know, our whole life she couldn't mow the yard. She mows the yard and all that. And so it put a big strain on everything, the church and everything. And, you know, there was times, and I'm telling you this because your flesh is real, and you know, when situations are real, they're going to happen in your life. It's going to happen, you know. But, see, we're supposed to have emotions like God. God has emotions. We're made in His image and likeness. But God never has been ruled by His emotions. He's dominated by faith. He gives out faith. Faith comes out of him. And when he speaks, things happen, you know. And he's always waiting for us to get in position to catch what he's saying. But if we're worrying, we'll be out of position. You know, if we're complaining about 100 degrees, I'm not going to do it. Now, I don't mind. I wouldn't mind if it was September already, but I can't faith it on into that month. Right? So I take what I got and I praise Him. I use what I got, praise the Lord, and then I just praise Him and ask Him for strength and all of that. You know, that's what I've done for 20-something years in these kind of seasons. So what you got to do, and you can master not worrying. You can master not being anxious. You can master not being in a hurry. You know, sometimes you need to just get down and sit down, and you need to just... Shut your mind off. Master that. Shut your mind off. I'll go to sleep. That's a good thing. But you know, I went in one time, I was fasting over that. That was terrible, mainly for her. Because I can handle a lot. I can do all of that. I'll mow, I did, and all of that, But I terribly hated it for her. I fasted and prayed and rebuked the devil and laid hands on her and commanded her to be healed and all of that stuff, and to no seemingly prevail. So I was just waiting on what I had spoken and all that to work. Well, I walk in one day and she says this to me. She said, "I'm stuck in this body." That was terrible. In other words, she's saying, "I can't do what I want to. I can't do what I want to do anymore. This body won't let me. What can you say to that? I just go in and all of a sudden I get back to the bedroom, whatever I was doing, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Tell her she's got to fight." I thought, glory to God. I got all excited. So I done what I done, and I went back in there, and I said, "Lord," I said, "you got to fight." She said, "I believe in God. I've been believing God." And I said, "Well, there's a difference in fighting and believing. The devils believe and tremble, right?" Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, "Fight the good fight." How many knows a good fight is one you win? I've never had a fight and got busted up and got up and said, "Whoo, that felt good." That's not a good fight. It's not a good fight to lose. We are winners according to the Bible. Not just me telling you that. We have been called to victory. The Bible says that God always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always. Somebody say always.
Always.
Every time. But see, where the challenge, and you know what? I said that, and when I left, well, I came in, I don't know if it was a day or three later or whatever, but I came in, and when I came in, there was praise and worship music going on. There was TBN or something playing. She cut off the movies. I'm not talking about bad movies. Andy Griffin. She cut off all that. And she got her Bible and she found all the healing scriptures in there. And she wrote them all down on the paper. Because she knew, and we know, that the Bible says the word is medicine to all of our flesh. Scripture says it. But you got to take your medicine. If you go to the doctor and he gives you antibiotic for the cold you got or whatever, you don't go home and just throw them on the counter and say, "I'm doing it by faith." No, if you're smart, you'll take it for three or four, whatever days that he does, and you give it time, and it kicks that out. Well, how many knows the word of God is like that medicine, that natural medicine, that works supernaturally in our bodies? And so every day she would open the door and roll out on the back porch, I think, every day or whatever, in that chair every morning, and she would take her medicine, she said. She'd take her medicine. She did it every day, praise and worship on, preaching on, hallelujah. How many knows the Bible says, while we look not at the things that we're in? He said, the things that we're facing are temporary. But the word of God is eternal. And the Bible says, we are to look unto Jesus, the word. You can't separate Jesus and the word of God. Because the Bible says in John 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, talking about Jesus. Goes on down about verse 13 and said, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, the only begotten Son of the Father, talking about Jesus. So when you're putting the word in you, praise God, you're putting Jesus in you. You can't separate it. See, we got to get out of the religious realm. We're just going to church. Ooh, have a good service. No. We come here to hear the anointed word of God. We come here to give a few minutes of worship corporately to the Lord. And we come here to receive. We come here to give Him our time and honor Him. And you know, if you honor the Word of God, God will honor you. The Bible says those that honor God, you honor the Word, then those are the ones that He'll honor. Well, you know, about 3 or 4 months went by. Somebody say months. So that's not in the morning. Right? That's not by the end of the week. That's I'm going to do it till it happens. Right? Persistence is, if you're persistent, that is showing your unfeigned faith. That unfeigned faith, real unfeigned faith, real faith of God will not settle for defeat. It will not. And if it's in you, it's not our ability. If it's in you, you're putting it in you. You're relying on God. We're having faith in God, like the Bible says, Mark 11:22. And we believe our house will come. We believe our girlfriend will come. We believe God will send the right ones into our kids. We're not hoping and going to get misfires. We're in faith. We're in faith believing, praise God, that what God's Word says, we have done it, we're doing it. And if you have missed it, just repent and jump on it and say, from here out, I'm doing it. But God, and I'm going to get the same results as if I'd been doing it 30 years, Lord. I just praise you for it and thank you for it. Well, I came in one day, and she met me at the door. Y'all have heard the story, but it bears telling again tonight. Because I wouldn't worry. I would not worry about her. I would not cry. It looked like maybe I didn't care. You know, I went about like life hadn't changed. Well, faith don't change, right? If you're in faith, then you're the same. Jesus said, I'm the same. He was in faith, right? Jesus said, I'm the same today, yesterday. Them scribes and Pharisees didn't move him. Them whipping him on the whipping post didn't move him, right? The storms on the ocean didn't move him. All of that healing and they getting mad at him, healing people, that didn't move him. And we are like Jesus. Our life is hid in God through Jesus. And so she met me at the door and had the keys in her hand. Open the door. I said, well, you know. She said, heal people, drive. And I thought, oh my God. I started to come out and say, drunk people don't. I don't like riding with drunks. That's dangerous, riding with a drunk. I rode with a drunk one time, and they went and run over tombstones while I was drunk back there, went and run over tombstones in the graveyard. I didn't ride with drunks no more, right? And so anyways, I know what riding with drunks. And so she said, heal people, drive. And I said, can't argue with that. Bless God. She wasn't fully healed at the moment. You know, hadn't fully manifest. But she'll come up to the point, if you're really in faith, you got to do what you couldn't do. Faith will ask you to do what you think you can't do. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll put a demand on you to take action. Faith has action, right? The Bible says that faith without action is no good. It's dead. There's action. There's action in your word, Richard. It's not tumbleweeds anymore. I got them lined up. And it's not fake. It's calling those things that be not as though it is. You know, I've got them. I say it all the time. Thank you, Lord. Your angels are going out for over 30 years now and getting me garage doors, Lord, causing people to think about me, giving me favor, God, and it comes in. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I get big jobs, less work and more money. There's days that I make $7,000, $10,000. I've made $40,000 in a week with a little 27-year-old back there, 28, that laid hands on those bills. You hear what I'm telling you? Learning, going to church, faithful to church. You need to be faithful to church. Y'all are. I'm not preaching to a bunch of layouts. I'm preaching to faithful people tonight, and I understand that. Because if this church was full of people like y'all that are really have faith in God, and I'm not downing them, really had faith in God, you would see miracles all over Blount County and wherever they live. I'm telling you, because he would show up for them and show out and his glory would be revealed, they would not be suffering with the fear and worry and lack. They might not have nothing, but on the inside they're wealthy. They might not be, well, we go out, and I said on the way around to get in the truck, I said, thank you, Father God, according to your word in Psalms 91, that your angels are kept around about both of us to watch over us. It says, lest you dash your foot against stone. I said, lest you must try to run the ditch. Well, you know what? She did that, kept on doing that. She don't have that problem anymore. And doctors didn't do it. Natural medicine, I'm telling you, the honest to God's truth. Y'all watched her stagger, and we had to help her on and off. We ain't had to help her in a long time. What I'm telling you is that's a good example of our finances, of our marriage, of our... We got to be persistent, and we got to be consistent with the Word of God. Train ourselves to be consistent with the Word of God. Satan can't hold up to that. See, I got a lot of faith. I put it on there, giving my testimony. But I was, at the time, I was thinking back. You know, I was thinking back how I felt. And I thought, God, you came, I allowed you, I called on you, I acknowledged you, and you came in and you give faith to the hopeless. He gave me faith that day. I'm telling you. I was hopeless. He gave me faith that day. Then it goes on, you know, we walk in and we believe in God for a house, and it looks impossible. I'm thinking $30,000 is maximum, God. That's it. Well, it ended up that wasn't high enough for God. God wanted us in something better. And so nothing wasn't happening. Year after year, I went 10 years. I was going to be persistent. I ain't going to give up. I'm going to live in a brick house. I told God, a brick house. I had somebody to tell me here not too long ago, you know, that these people in programs, you know, these rehab programs and stuff, they told me they don't really need to know about prosperity. I mean, they need to, you know, and I'm like, what? You looking at a drug head. I had marijuana in the freezer. I had pills. I had Black Beauties. I had all that down there. You know, I just never went to the rehab. You know, and that day I went, when Jesus came in, I went and dumped all of that, flushed it. I went and flushed it all down, and then, I mean, I come up and I could visualize my wife coming back. And I told that guy, so let me tell you something. I said, there ain't nothing ever delivered me. Not rehab. I said, not preaching against sin to me. I said, my sister told me, you know, you're going to hell. I said, and I told her, I'm going to party in hell with the devil. Which ain't no partying going on down there. That's how I felt. But I told that guy, so let me tell you something. I said, what God began to do for me is give me vision out of where I was at. He began to give me hope and faith for my future. I said, and because of that, it caused me to go out after him and believe for him. I said, and he began to bring me out. I said, now he's sending me out. So I was working, me and Travis working, some of them boys working on a house. I put a garage door in there. And I went in there to one of them boys. And they just in the program wanting out. They doing their time. Now I walked in there and I looked over there to that guy. There had about four or five of them. I looked over there to that one the Lord told me to. I was out there cutting something. He said, go in there and ask him how easy it is. Tell him how easy it is to get something for me. I said, okay. So I walked in there and looked over at him and I said, hey, son, yeah. I said, you know how easy that it is to get something from God? And he's looking at me and he's thinking. Yeah, I can tell he's thinking. I said, this is how easy it is. I said, you simply believe him. I said, the Bible says in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. I said, and then it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, because you have faith in God, believe that you receive it and you will have it. And I just walked out of there. I could have told him, well, you got to stop this and you got to really get blah, 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 blah. See, I can't lead y'all into victory intellectually. You hear me? I mean, I think Richard needs a resurrection every other day. Don't mean he does, right? I mean, he's goofy. Shark doo 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 doo, shark doo doo. I mean, and he does this. I mean, he's on there, you know, with their, it is all time doing funny stuff. And I'm thinking, man, you know, I got to go pastor him. I don't have to pastor him, Mac. All I've got to do is hear from God, come behind this pulpit and preach what he's telling me and keep my mind off of anybody, any of y'all, right? That's what you do. Your house, your job, your, you know, keep my mind on the Lord. And then he'll come in here and he'll go, Mac needs this, took away and put in. This one needs this and put in. He does it. How many knows that the Holy Spirit is the one? I mean, I get in my church up there, and I didn't really know how jacked up I still was. I thought, I'm saved, man. I go in there, man, you know, and I had holy clothes. I didn't have no clothes without holes. My hair, I wore long, short shag, or whatever it's called. I don't know, forget what it, you know. I imagine they looked at me and said, oh, my God. I don't know if we can pastor him or not. But that was a church. My pastor fasted and prayed. You ought to fast and pray. If you ain't filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of praying in an unknown tongue, you need to ask the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I don't care what the church says. This Bible says in Jude, it says, praying in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God. Building yourself up. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, I was taught that it was of the devil. Teresa wasn't. She goes to church. Sandy tells her, since you're saved, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She said, what's that? She said, well, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. She explained it, praying in tongues and all that. And so she tells me what Sandy says. And I said, I told you she's a fruity. Tongues. What do you need tongues for? Tongues. I mean, you know, I'd been taught where I'd been that it was of the devil. That all of that stuff had died away. Healing died out and all that. That's not so. He gave the fivefold ministry for the building up in Ephesians. Until we all come. The church ain't in the unified faith yet. He said, till we all come in that unified faith. So anyhow, I tell her, I said, that stuff's of the devil. I said, you don't need to be listening to her about that stuff. We go to church, but she just ignored me. She's born again, and she tells the Lord, she said, Lord, I want the infilling of the Holy Ghost. She said, I believe I received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And a little bit of time went on, and she hadn't received it for whatever the reason was. And so she told God, she said, this is the last time I'm going to ask you. And if you don't give it to me, I'm fine. I'm just not going to ask for it no more. Well, we got to church, and this apostle, he's dead now. He was an apostle. He's up there, you know, and he gets the microphone and he's preaching. He said, the Lord has sent me here today. He said that some might receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I thought, here's one of them devils. Teresa goes up there and I'm like, oh my God, here she goes. I mean, see, God was using a real example to make a believer out of an unbeliever. I knew she had not been indoctrinated. I knew she hadn't been to church. I knew she hadn't none of that. And I mean, that guy didn't even lay hands on her. He was going to, and she fell out and started flopping like a fish right before my eyes and started praying in tongues, and I know she wasn't taught. And I'm like, man, this is embarrassing. You're in church, you know what I mean? God, flopping like a fish. This is my wife. Well, you know what? It wasn't long I got it. And I'm telling you, praise God, It's not of the devil. Somebody told me one time, they said, it's just of the devil. Why do you need it? I said, well, look. I said, I've been to a bunch of concerts smoking pot and it all filled up. Why didn't he fill us with it? Why didn't Satan fill us with it when we were in his presence? Why didn't he give it to us? If it's of the devil, why did he not give it to me? He don't got it, Mac. It comes from God. But anyways, off of that, no worry. You make up your mind today. I was in the presence of some preachers. I was 29 years old, and they were standing there, about four or five of them. They were worried about their members leaving and going to another church. A lot of stuff. They were worried. Worried about the bill money to church. Worried. I was evangelist then, about 2 years maybe. And I'm standing there, and they're grieving me, man. I'm like, what's wrong with these preachers? These are preachers. And they ain't got a lick of faith in none of that. So I walked up there a little bit closer to them, and I said, I don't worry about nothing. I said, Jesus said, don't worry about nothing, about your life, about what you wear, about your church members, about the finances. He said, don't worry about none of that. I said, he said, the world worries about that. So it's a sin to worry, guys. One of them looked at me and he knew me. He said, well, Mr. Weston, I mean, you got to worry about something. You got to worry about it. I said, no, I don't. I said, but you do. I said, but you can change it. I said, I'm not worrying about nothing. I had the opportunity to worry about Travis. It's college. I had the opportunity to worry about it when he was in school. I had the opportunity to worry when he got married. I have it now. I have many opportunities to worry. I just don't take none of them. So I'm telling you, what I'm saying is powerful tonight. Don't worry about your life. You follow the Lord. Serve him. Just serve him. Whatever that means to you at the moment, and God will show you otherwise. You just do what you know God wants you doing. Simple. Just keep it simple. I read in the Bible one time, I read in there, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. And I thought, that's terrible. He died for the church. He went to that cross, man. I got to love Teresa like that. That's terrible. I thought, she'll take advantage of me. Because I seen that kind of stuff as weakness. You know, love and humble. But I found out in the Bible, humble get the grace. Man, the humble get exalted. The Bible says, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I read that this evening. The Lord said, He said, I want you to speak it out over them. He said, just stay humble. You don't have to humble yourself if you're humble. Right? You just walk in humility. You just endeavor to walk in humility. The Bible says if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due season. It says be sober-minded, be vigilant. Put that up there, Beth. I think I wanted that in that. I put that in that Amplified. We'll read that for our close. No, that's not it. It's 1 Peter, I think, maybe. Yeah, there it is. Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. That means be sober-minded. Be mindful. You know, don't just let your thoughts just go haywire all the time. I mean, you can think of a million things in an hour. Just shift gears like your mind can just shift gears. Go on your grandpa and them. Be over yonder on something else in 3 minutes and all of that. But that's what he's taught. He's telling you why. Because you're your adversary. He didn't say God's adversary, because God don't have one. He said your adversary, the devil, he's roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Don't say he's going about devouring, although he is a lot. But he's looking, he's coming to me and you at different times, and he's trying to find us at a time where he can get us to respond so he can do some devouring. But he don't have the power to do it. He can't do it. He can't make you not be word-minded. He can't make you worry. He don't have the ability to make you do anything. He just has the power of suggestion. He suggests, I mean, he tries to get me all the time. I've got 33 years experience in garage doors. I believe we are some of the best garage door hangers they are. I believe that, you know. And he's all time, about every job that I've got coming up, tries to get me to worry about it. There's not going to be something in the hardware. There's not going to be this and not going to be that, you know. He does it every week. I just don't worry. I tell Travis a lot, I say, hey, some bridges, you just cross when you get there. Well, because you don't imagine stuff up, because that's fear. You worry, that's getting you to worry. And if you're worrying and your faith has been on them guys getting everything right over there because you're believing God, and you start worrying, they're going to start messing up. Right? If you're believing God, then he's going to help them heathens. For my sake and your sake. But he said, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walked about, whom resist steadfast in what? Fear? He don't say fear. It says, you steadfastly, every day, every minute, look, he can't keep up an onslaught against you consistently. The devil's not like God everywhere. He has these little demons and stuff, you know, that comes. I believe if you've had some kind of trauma in your life, I believe he'll assign a demon to you to keep you feeling emotional about that trauma. I believe that sometimes if you've had problems with, you know, fear or something, at times he'll just bring an onslaught, I mean, to just try to wear you down so that you'll go back into what you've done come out of. Because there's nobody created in the image and likeness of God to be worriers, complainers. And I understand things are real. I understand, you know, that situations are real and feelings and emotions are real. But that's why God tells us in the Bible that we walk by faith and not by sight. Not by what it looks like. Not by what your past was. You know, you walk by what the Bible says now. And you believe what God said in his Bible. And I don't care where you are. Your life will continually go from one level of faith to another. One level of glory to another. One level of success to another. Till people will begin to look and say, man, Scotty, look at him. So one of my brothers just told me the other day, he said, you know, you could tell it in your life. He comes sat with me for a couple of hours, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. But anyhow, he said, I knew down there, he was talking about after I got saved. He said, I could see you go from defeated to success even at a young Christian. He said, and now here you are. He said, there's not anybody that I know of that don't know you, your business. He said, in the same way over in the church, you know. He said, there's not nobody I know that don't know you. And I'm saying that because I read the scripture and I believe God to do it. He said, your gifts will make room for you. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. You've got gifts. Every one of us have got talents and gifts in our lives. They're all may be different. I mean, I believe, you know, I mean, Mac, he's anointed to mow. I mean, he's anointed right now to, you know, God gifted him and brought him into our life. And now he's using what he feels good doing for Jesus Christ, and it's helping us. You know, but you've got gifts and talents. Yours might not be fivefold, but it might be fivefold. You know, I mean, I've thought before in my life, man, I call somebody to preach on Wednesday, man. This garage door stuff is driving me crazy, trying to drive me crazy. How am I going to preach? But I've learned, you know, whatever state I'm in, Paul said be content. He didn't say stay there. He said, but don't whine and complain, you know. And every time I've trusted God because I feel like I can't pastor and work. That's a lie. How many knows that's a lie? According to your word in the Bible, Paul says you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And all of that stuff y'all didn't get out of this sermon, praise God. That was the Holy Spirit tonight. So don't you get discouraged and don't you worry about nothing. Don't worry about your family. Don't worry about your future. Don't worry. them mundumming them or whatever they are on there trying to bring jihad over here and tell us we going to have to serve and all of that, another God. They got another thing coming. They just don't know us that have give our life to Jesus. If we're martyrs, we going to give him some glory. But we believe that we'll call on our God and he'll call on his. And we'll see which one answers. You see, God said he give his angels charge over us for us not to fear and not to bow down and serve other gods. And if you want your God, just stay at your house. But if you come to my house, you're going to get my God. I won't come to your house because I ain't going to serve Allah, your God. Because your God didn't deliver me down there out of suicide. Your God didn't get me. By the way, I'm going to throw this out there. You see, all those dreams and desires, I live in that brick house. Everything I got right now is paid for. I kept the fight of faith. I endured hardship. I wouldn't quit and wouldn't lay down the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God in Ephesians. He helps us to do this stuff. And today I owe nobody nothing. I live in my brick house paid for, 16 acres of land there. Me and Travis own 40 acres of land. And I had a broken marriage and shattered dreams when I give my heart to Jesus Christ. And if he will do it for me, he'll do it for you. I didn't serve him for all of that, but he is one good God. Let's bow our head. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Father God, tonight. We thank you that we choose. No worry. We're not ever going to worry again, Father, in Jesus' name, with your help and your Holy Spirit. And that's your will, God. You told us not to worry about what we'll wear or anything, but just to seek your kingdom, seek you first, and all these things will come into our lives, Father. And I thank you for the promise of your word. And I thank you, Father God, your Holy Spirit, he does quicken your word to us, brings revelation to us. And Father, I just thank you tonight that we're all healed. In the name of Jesus. Father, we're healed from the crown of our head, the soles of our feet, Lord. We thank you that no weapons formed against us will prosper. Thank you, Father God, that when something does attack us, we recover speedily, Lord. We have speedy recovery, Father God, and I thank you for that, Lord. Touch everyone here on the sound of my voice, Father God. And if you're here and you're lost without Jesus, listening by way of the internet or whatever, look, it's not about a church. You'll want to go to church when you get born again, but it's not about that. It's about him giving you hope for your future, faith when you're faithless, and causing you to have courage when everything else has failed. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, give your heart to him. He died for you. He's waiting on you. And I asked him today, I said, Lord, let my words go out into the airways, Father God. And Lord, they can't come to you unless you draw them, Lord, but draw them, Lord. Deal with their hearts, Father God. No man comes to him except he draws. So if he's drawing you and dealing with you, he's giving you opportunity. He's giving you a way out of escape of this world and its system. And if you're here today and all you've got to do is give your heart, bow your heart right where it's at. Anybody here, you're not saved and you want to get saved, slip your hand up. You're lost without the Lord. You're backslid on the Lord. You're not right with him and you want to make things right. You want your road to be a lot better. Slip your hand up and back down, anybody. All right, praise God. Let's stand to our feet and give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, has anybody got any announcements or anything? I believe I'll go get the food next Wednesday. And so, not this Sunday, but we'll end it up to next Sunday. Anybody else got any?